This is Crucial Tech, a podcast about technology that affects us all, but most of us don't understand, presented in a format that allows you to consume it in the time it takes to go to and from the grocery store. I'm your host, Lou Covey, and I probably know more about it than you do. And if I don't, I know someone who does. So let's get to it. Today we are going to talk about marketing and statistics. Those are subjects I'm going to be drilling down on in the next coming months. And I know most of you would rather have root canal than talk about either of them, but they are important issues. Now, marketing is the way we learn about new products and services, and we have to hear about these things. And as long as people are honest about it, that's not necessarily a problem. But then we have statistics, which is how a lot of companies will justify why you have to buy their products. Now, today we're talking to Mike Starr, the founder and CEO of Tracked, T-R-A-C-K-D, no E in the end, which has a pretty important product that deals with something else that people would rather ignore, patching software. Here are some statistics. Almost half of everyone in the world does not update their software when they should. And that opens up a massive hole that a hacker can exploit. I mention that statistic because it's one of the stats that most security companies don't use in their marketing. That's unfortunate because it's an accurate, documented statistic. Instead, cybersecurity companies rely on statistics and what they call facts to frighten people into buying their service. In this interview, Mike quotes a statistic that has been in marketing materials for many years. At the end, I will point it out, but right now I'm going to tell you that there is no data to back that stat up. When this is over, if you haven't guessed what it is, I will tell you where it comes from. Now, that isn't to say that what Mike's company does isn't important. It's very important, and even better, it is free for right now. So when he talks about this product, and you have a small business or work for a government agency, or just want to see how messed up your computer is, you should look into it. But for this discussion about, we're going to talk about why many companies, especially those who follow new security flaws and report them to the world, like to scare people into doing something, even when they don't necessarily have to. That's a practice that may be dissuading people to take action because there are just too many times these companies cry wolf when it's just a puppy. So here we go with Mike Starr of Tracked. I took a look at your company. Kind of interesting in that you monitor patching. So because a lot of IT guys don't really like to automate patching because you never know if you're getting a fraudulent patch, right?
Yeah, what we found is that most people, when they're going to fix their software vulnerabilities, they're crossing their fingers hoping patches won't break their shit, and so they just don't patch.
Yeah, well, they slow the process down and then they get blamed if they get breached.
Absolutely.
But the thing I wanted to talk to you about, and you might be a good source for this, is, and I mentioned it in the question I sent back to Mish, that there seems to be this marketing practice within the cybersecurity industry of absolutely terrifying people about basic breaches. And it comes out of the security research groups, where they say, we've found a hole in this particular software or system, and it could cause all kinds of havoc. But further down in the story, it says, but the company that was affected, they took care of it before any problem happened. And I'm wondering why the security research industry seems to hold on to that marketing effort. Is there a good reason for it?
I think there's maybe two lenses that you could look at this kind of scenario with. The first is maybe a little bit negative, where, you know, the security researchers want to make sure that what they're doing is perceived as valuable. And so drumming up a little bit of fear or sensationalism, which, I mean, you know, this isn't just for security researchers. Pretty much everything's sensationalized. And it's easy, because fear is the main reason people do or do not do a thing, right? And it's actually like one of the core components for Tract is abating that fear, getting the fear neutralized by providing empirical data about previous patching experiences. That said, I think that the idea around vulnerabilities and exploits and maybe terrifying folks, we'll use Log4j as an example. Now that impacted a lot of folks. And it was so sensationalized, super covered. There was a bunch of stuff around that, but the impact for Log4j was fairly negligible. And I think it's because of the media coverage and the priority that organizations put into remediating the Log4j vulnerabilities. So then you look back and you say, well, the vuln wasn't that bad, but the only reason that it probably wasn't that bad is because, you know, the media scare the shit out of people.
That could be. The problem is that you get to a certain level of exhaustion on this.
Absolutely.
Just today, IBM came out with a report that said the average cost of a breach to an organization is $4.45 million.
Right. Yep.
Okay. But the thing is, 2 months ago, and that was based on a survey of less than 600 companies. But the UK government came out with a report 2 months ago that said the average cost was £1,100. And that was based on a study of 6,000 companies.
Interesting.
And when you get that kind of discrepancy, people start saying, it's over and over again, people start saying, oh, wait a minute.
Right. I guess you have to think, like, who are IBM's target audience? Who are their customers? They probably tend to be in the Fortune 2000s, where a breach for them is probably significantly more expensive versus potentially the UK government or even our government, if we were to do a similar thing across. Maybe it's run by the Small Business Administration, for example.
Yeah.
The impact there monetarily is significantly lower than if it were to impact potentially one of IBM's customers. The interesting thing is that I read a statistic a while ago, and I don't know if it's still accurate, and I can't for the life of me remember the source. I'd have to look it up, which I can absolutely do. But there is something that asserted, like, more than half of the small businesses that experience a breach go under. And so the monetary value compared to, like, the compared to large folks, it might seem small, but if in fact this statistic is still accurate, like the you know, a business pulling in a couple $10,000 or $200,000 a year just going out of business, the long-term effect is it might be much more impactful than you know, a couple thousand pounds for a breach.
But I guess it comes down to people like me to actually point out the flaws in the data.
Absolutely.
And explain exactly what's going on, which kind of is why I like what you guys are doing. But the question is, how much does it cost? Because that's the other thing I keep wondering about. The cost of data breaches, how much is that is actually the cost of buying the tools and services to keep you from being breached? How much do you charge for your services?
That's a great question. I love talking about this, because right now the entirety of the platform is free. The great thing about our platform, it's unified. So we built a product. Our platform from the bottom up, to address the needs of both security and IT. And it's a holistic, the problem isn't just for one team. So we built the platform from the ground up to address the needs of both security and IT, because vulnerability management and patch management are owned typically by different groups of folks, and the things that they care about are different. You know, security cares about cyber risk, and IT cares about operational risk. And it turns out that one without the other is worse than useless. It's the main source of frustration and consternation and combativeness between these two teams. And clearly, you know, the bad actors already have a leg up. And so what we've done is we provide insights for security that they care about in the context of the data that IT cares about, and vice versa, so that you can start to have collaborative conversations around these things. The reason that the platform is free, at least for now, the entirety of it is free for now, is we're building a data set. The main premise behind Tract is that people don't patch because they're afraid it's going to break their shit. And so we've built this platform that provides insights into how patches have broken other people's shit before you apply it to yours. And so because we need to collect a significant amount of data, we do the vulnerability management, we do the patch management in a single platform. And with our agents installed across your fleet, we're able to collect telemetry data on how those patches have performed, anonymize it, and share it with everybody else in real time. And so to answer your question, the entirety of the platform is currently free. Now we're looking to enable a premium version of the product in Q1 of next year. However, finding and fixing your vulnerabilities will always be free and tracked. The thing that we'll look to monetize, or that will be monetized, is this experience data. And so being able to make decisions essentially that help you quantify what safe means to you, given these kinds of metrics, to say things like, this was applied 10,000 times, it has a global fail rate of 2%, do I want to auto patch based on this thing? And so there's this we're approaching really the human component of vulnerability and patch management, where you hear a lot in security that, you know, cyber is a people problem first, but it's mostly lip service. And so we take this to heart, and it's the core of our company.
Okay, so you're not selling this to the users. Who do you sell this data to?
Yeah, so we will sell the data, not, we won't sell the data we use the data in the premium version of the product. And so technically it's being sold. But the way that it will be leveraged is in the platform, you could log in, and you, as you hover over a patch or a vulnerability that needs to be addressed in your platform, if we have experience data, you'll see that immediately. And so you can say, this has a bunch of user reported disruptions, or we detected a disruption, it has been installed 40 times. And then you can make the distinction as to whether or not you patch more or less aggressively based on the patch's known historical experience, and probably most importantly is, like, what does the operator have to do that day? Like, maybe they've got a Tinder date that they might miss if they blue screen their server that they just patched, or maybe they missed their daughter's recital. And so one of the things that's really important is that you have a platform that's flexible enough to take into account the life of the operator. And so in addition to, like, essentially hiding that data behind the premium version of the product, a rules engine that allows you to auto patch given this data is another component of what we'll end up monetizing. And so what that allows people to do then is, again, quantify what safe means to them, so they can make distinctions or assertions around when it's safe to apply patches given some conditional logic. And so an example of this would be, apply this patch to my test infrastructure immediately when the patch gets announced, because we don't care if it breaks my test infrastructure. But then a conditional logic rule to move from test to non-test would say, if this didn't fail locally, there's a less than 2% global fail rate, there's at least 400 data points across the Tract platform, we'll then push this out to non-test. And it could be all of non-test, or it could be a subset of non-test. And you can link those kinds of rules essentially in a way that allows you to increasing to increase your confidence, given quantitative metrics, to patch more aggressively based on things that are real, as opposed to what operators tend to use right now to go from test to non-test, which is arbitrary periods of time where a patch quote unquote burns in, and they feel safe or they feel like it's not going to cause a disruption, which is why on average it takes about 215 days to patch a vuln.
Okay, so what kind of company would want to buy the premium product?
Really, anybody that's looking to accelerate their patching cadence, reduce their cyber risk, exact more value out of the team members that they already have. You know, one of the things that we like to say, and this is done by a private study, but less than 2% of patches are ever rolled back. But you're not going to play Russian roulette with your critical infrastructure. And so you have to test or at least apply some kind of screening to every patch that you deploy. But if you knew that a patch historically caused no disruptions, you might be more comfortable patching more quickly than you otherwise would. And so if you have, say, 1,000 vulnerability management folks, which some of these large financial institutions do, and they still only get on average 10% of the vulnerabilities remediated that plague their organizations. And so if you could say, well, of those 20,000 vulnerabilities that you have, only 2% of them are going to be disruptive, and you auto patch the 98% that are fine. Well, now you have that entire workforce, 1,000 people focusing on hyper focused on that 2% that's potentially going to cause a disruption. And then it's the idea there is that, you know, it's that 2% is of course less than that 10%. And so if you have a mature vulnerability patch management program where you are consistently getting through that 10% that is the average for organizations, well, now not only can you easily take care of that 2%, but you have the time back for that team to maybe get to focus on something a little bit more nuanced or difficult or new to redirect the resource.
Small to medium enterprises, municipalities, smaller school districts could use your tool at no cost.
That's right.
And reduce their vulnerability.
That's exactly right.
That's really interesting, because another, you know, as we're preparing for today, I found out, and I was kind of surprised by this. Worldwide, 51% of organizations suffered a breach in the past year.
Right.
Okay. But that means 49% did not. And some countries are like the United States is actually 40% suffered a breach, which to me tells me we've got a pretty high level of security awareness in the country. But still, being able to automate, to ease the process of patching, could knock off another 2 or 3% off of that, which is actually significant.
So what I would be interested to know is, of the 49% that are that claim didn't get breached, is it because they didn't know they're breached? Is it because they didn't get asked? I'd be surprised if they're just not known enough to get breached, right? And I think probably the majority of that 49% is probably they're too small to even be on the radar to be breached. And so that 51% are probably the big dogs that have a following, that have user data, right, where it's where it makes good business sense from the hacker standpoint, that I can monetize the data that I'm going to steal. Like, doesn't make sense to hack mom and pop hardware shop in Reston, Virginia, unless they have a handful of servers that I can weaponize as a bot and then sell on the black market. But even still, like, unless it's really easy to get into that system, which means it's typically exposed on the internet, and it's running some old version of software that's exploitable by a well-known exploit, then yeah, the 51% of the companies being breached are the ones that we absolutely don't want to get breached.
Yeah. And then it comes down to the wording, because just because you're breached doesn't mean something bad has happened. Because like you said, you could be breached and never know about it. And if you don't have anything worth stealing, they're not going to take it.
Sure.
Like if somebody decided to breach my bank account at the credit union, they would come to realize they're not going to get much money out of me.
That's fair. Probably have the same problem there. But if they did breach the credit union, right, that would actually be fantastic, because you're not the only one there. And that credit union probably has a couple hundred million, if not $1 billion, under assets under management. And so that could be a very interesting financial ploy, either if they can conduct a money transfer, but probably what they would end up doing is stealing your identity or your social security number and selling that on the black market.
Okay, that was Mike Starr with Tracked. Very interesting product, very interesting service. Highly recommend it because it's a cost-effective way of figuring out if you've actually properly patched your software. That's a good thing. Now, did you catch the statistic that he quoted? And this is not his fault. He's not lying about this, because everybody in the industry believes this. And it was the stat that says half of all small businesses that got breached have gone out of business within 6 months. That's not true. In fact, there's no documentation that shows that to be true, because there's not enough data to find out how many small businesses have been breached. So where does it come from? Well, about 10, 15 years ago, there was a study that was promoted by a particular security software company, big one, I won't get into the names, and they came up with lots of different stats that are used over and over again. This is one of them. And what happened was, 2 months after that report came out, the company that promoted it or paid for it and the company that did it came out with a statement saying, we were wrong. We have no idea what these numbers are. We don't know where they came from. This was a major screw up. And they just let it lie. But that has been picked up over and over and over again in all kinds of publications and all kinds of marketing materials. And what the actual stat or statistics, excuse me, I'm getting too much with my abbreviations here. What the statistic was, a study of six companies that had been breached that went out of business within 6 months of the breach. But what they discovered is that there were all kinds of reasons that those companies went out of business. And there were, like I said, there were just six of them in the study. And it could have been mismanagement. It could have been the breach. It could have been the economy. It could have been anything, but the study didn't take a look at those things. So there's no validity to that particular argument. And that's a problem of lazy marketing, of a lack of proper investment in marketing. And when a company doesn't invest properly in marketing, they end up not succeeding very well for the long term. So it's a dangerous thing. It means companies that have good products that need to be widely accepted don't get accepted because they're using inaccurate materials. They're scaring people for no good reason. So overall, I want to tell you, cybersecurity is important. You need to patch your software. You need, if you, even when you don't like it and you're afraid it's going to do something bad to your system, you need to do it anyway. And there are safe ways to do that. Cyber crime is a big issue, a huge issue, but it's not as big as people think it is. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do anything about it, but that's the kind of thing that I want to get across here today, is that you need to check your numbers. You need to check your resources, no matter what you're doing. If you're on Facebook and you see something, somebody say, this is a real problem we've got to take care of, and I found out about it here. Well, check out where that here was. Check the sources. Be a little bit hesitant to accept everything that anyone is saying, and try and move through the crap and get to the point where you need to be. So that's it for this week on Cyber Protection Magazine's Crucial Tech. If you have any questions or concerns, get a hold of us at cyberprotection-magazine.com, and we'll get back to you as long as you're legitimate. Try and stay safe out there. This has been a Foot Washer Media production.